time once again for Great Moments in History, the facts and true stories behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. And now, for today's exciting true story, our scene, the mountains of Switzerland, the story, the truth behind William Tell and the shooting of the apple off his son's head. It is a great day as all the crowd murmurs around.
William Tell, because you would not bow down before the king, you must be forced to shoot an apple off your son's head with a bow and arrow. Are you agreed?
Aye, sir, I'm ready, but must you make me do it?
I have faith, Daddy. I know you won't miss me.
Quiet, little fellow. All right, stand over there against the tree.
Very well, Pop.
You know what this means to me, King.
Yes,
son.
I do. Yes.
Line hog. Yes, all right. All right, son, are you ready?
Yes, Pop.
I will draw my bow. Oh, I'm sorry.
I could tell your aim is very bad.
Not too bad. I shot one of the guards.
Yes, you did. Try another chance there, will you?
Gracious, I shot another guard.
Come on, Pop, I'm back here.
Okay, son.
This is your final chance.
Really are a lion hog, aren't you? All right, here I go with steady arm. I did it. I shot the apple.
Yes, you did, Pop, but it was the wrong apple.
What do you mean, son?
You got me right in my Adam's apple, and the arrow is still quivering.
And so, that's the truth behind William Tell shooting the apple off his kid's head. He shot him in Adam's apple. And that's today's great moment in history.
Well, Casey, we haven't been there for quite a time, so let's a little push on the door here. Might help you.
There we go.
And welcome to Betty Crockett's Experimental Kitchen. Each Tuesday afternoon at this time, we present WRC's home economist, and here she is in her experimental kitchen, Miss Betty Crockett. Hi, Betty.
Hello, Eddie. How are you?
Oh, fine.
Hello, Eddie.
Hi, Betty. How are you?
Goodness gracious.
Hi, Betty.
Hello, Arthur.
Grab one of those donuts.
Get your hands off my chicken fat cookies.
About to hit the needle there when you hit me, too.
Well, I'm sorry if I peek the needle. You just keep your hands over there on the console.
Say hello to Willard, Betty.
Hello to Willard, Betty.
Oh, that's kind of silly. I mean, really, you're ad-libbing. Betty, where have you been? We haven't seen you for a couple of weeks. You've been working on something big in here?
No, I do a little time.
Do a little time?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, stitching time saves nine. I've been doing a little knitting up there.
Oh, you had me worried there for a minute.
Kind of the Jolly Girls got together, Gladys Morris and all of us. We had a steam bath and had a few.
How about our recipe for this afternoon?
How about a recipe, Eddie? Would you like to hear one?
Yes, I sure would.
I sure do, yes.
All right, what do you got in mind?
Thank you very much.
Well, what have you got in mind?
I sure will, if you'd like.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right?
Yep.
Ready. Today on the program, for you girls who are looking for something different to serve during this Memorial Day weekend that comes up,
Memorial weekend passed. That was last weekend.
Really?
Yeah.
My goodness, time flies.
Sure,
it's gone. Anyway, for those of you who want something different to serve, to people who are coming in for hors d'oeuvres, something like that, why don't you try some alligator adenoids?
Oh, that sounds delightful. What? Alligator adenoids?
Right. Alligator adenoids.
In what form do you serve alligator adenoids?
Well, of course, you're fricasseum. You've never boiled an adenoid.
That was an Artie Shaw record, wasn't it? Fricassee? Oh, I was trying to
Anyway, you get yourself an old alligator and you whip out his adenoid.
How about his tonsils while we're at it, huh?
Well, he has blue cross here in, otherwise, forget it. But you can just cut out his adenoid and put them in a little boil pot. Or put them in a little. Forget
pot
it.
And boil them.
That's right.
And what do you serve them with? Crackers? Or what?
No, with love and nerve.
With a lot
so
of
long.
Well, thank you very much, Betty, and we sure do.
No. Hey, can I have one more of those donuts?
Get your button picking hands off my chicken fat cookie.
Well, thank you very much. You've been visiting with Betty Crockett, her experimental kitchen. Join us next week for another interesting recipe from our home economist. So long, Betty.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to get a haircut, if you don't mind, please.
That's the nice. And come right on in here. Make yourself comfortable. Right
thank
here.
Thank you very much. I'll sit down right here.
That's the nice.
Okay, thank you.
You want a shave, a haircut, or you want a short haircut? How you want it?
Just give me a regular haircut, please. It'll be fine, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Say, you look kind of familiar to me. Looks like maybe you're on radio or the television.
That's right. I'm on television and radio, too.
A big star, huh?
Well, a very big name in town, yes.
Say, tell me, do you know these fellas on the 4 in the afternoon, Willard Scott and Ed Walker?
No, you see, I don't.
Boy, they're the funniest guys on the television. on the radio, I mean, is, like yesterday afternoon, for example.
I know,
like
I've heard
of 405 to 6, you know, on WRC.
I've heard about them.
These guys, yesterday afternoon, they was doing a couple of skits.
I know, but
I'm going to do this soap opera in the afternoon.
You don't understand.
So there, and then had the Sodbusters on there, had Betty Crockett, and then had Mr. Janitor, and Harry.
No, you understand.
They did an interview the other day with a guy who's an olive stuff.
That's the funniest
I've ever heard in my life. And I've been listening to the radio for 35 years. I want to tell you, you want to hear a funny show, you listen to Willie Scott and Ed Walker from 4:05 to 6 o'clock. And that's the kind of show they do every day.
Wait a minute.
What's the matter?
You cut all the hair off my beautiful head.
Oh, my goodness. I'm awfully sorry, Mr.
Gallagher. Eddie Gallagher.
Oh, my shoes. You on the radio, huh?
Yeah, but it's Scott and Walker. You've ruined me for life. Oh, well, maybe I can get a job as Yul Brynner.
We approach Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. Willard, little shoulders.
Hey, I'll help you open the door here.
Here we go.
Welcome to Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. Each Tuesday afternoon at this time, WRC presents our home economist, Miss Betty Crockett. Here she is in her experimental kitchen.
Arthur, get
out. Didn't even ask you yet.
Yeah, I knew you were getting ready, though.
Those chicken fat cookies look awful good there, Betty.
Your chicken fat head looks awful good to me, too.
Well,
give me a kiss, Arthur.
Wow!
My goodness, you got my teeth.
Oh, my. Yeah. Broke off my wisdom, too, there.
My cuspid's back in here.
Why, Betty, how are you this afternoon, huh?
Hello, Eddie, and how are you?
Fine, how are you?
Wonderful, fine.
Let's have, I'm fine, how are you?
Yes.
Willard, say hello to Betty, don't you?
Hello to Betty Willard.
Hello, Willard, and how are you? It's awful good to see you two boys again. And Arthur, if you'll get
want
your
hand. Bubblegum pie, Betty.
Leave that bubblegum pie.
It's good there.
It's wonderful to be back on the radio again. And
that's radio.
Sure is. That's showbiz.
Well, how about a recipe?
Yes, Eddie. I thought if the girls would get their pencils and papers out, old Betty would give them a recipe.
Okay, we all
for
got
a soft summer breeze type dinner.
Got our pencils and papers out?
Yeah.
Get the girls, get their pencils.
Come on, girls. Get out. Pencils, papers. We'll wait. There they got them. Okay. Now, here's Betty with the recipe.
Thank you very much, Eddie, with the recipe. Yes?
Oh, you got the recipe.
Today,
Never mind.
I do, yes.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
Today's recipe, girls, calls for turkey turnovers.
Hey, that sounds very nice. Is that like a turkey croquette or something like that?
No, it did. No.
A turkey turnover.
Yes, it's a wonderful little novelty type dish when you want to serve something different. When you're having the girls over for bridge or poker or what's the numbers on it.
Hot or cold? What is it?
Well, what do you mean hot or cold?
Well, you better tell me how you make it first. Then we can...
Well, it's turkey turnovers.
Well, I know. But a turnover is something with pastry in there, a little shell.
No, not exactly. Not this
how does yours work?
You just get a turkey.
And you...
Turn him over.
I was afraid you'd...
Turn him over on his back and then use him as a lazy Susan. You may have to keep tickling his trachea to keep him from getting all riled up, because the turkey don't normally stay on her back, you know.
No, they don't.
But you can put whatever you want to on the turkey.
It's optional, huh?
Well, if the turkey don't mind, I don't know.
The turkey
turnovers.
Thank you, Betty. That's
not... trying to push me out again.
No, it sounds like a very...
I'm trying to get out of here, Joan.
Got something, Cracker Jack.
So we leave Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen as she turns over her turkey. This show was too. We'll see you next week. So long, Betty.
Richmond, Virginia, broadcasting to you tonight from this exciting new effervescent nightclub at Club Soda.
Excuse me, sir. Can I borrow a dime from you for a cup of coffee?
Sure, Phil. I guess
thanks a lot. Are you Al Stevenson? Is this the show here late at night?
No, those bags under my eyes are for suitcase ads that I do on
thanks
television.
Thanks a lot. I hate to scrounge money for coffee and all, but I got
a dime. You better take it to the nickel.
I got a sad story.
Well, we are looking for interviews on this program, so perhaps might as well interview you.
You used to be on radio, huh?
We are on radio.
Do you remember the name Charlie Jingle?
Charlie Jingle.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't strike a bell with
you. It should, because that was a name that was on the lips of every ad man in New York on Madison Avenue a few years ago.
You were big in the gray flannel suit.
I certainly was. I was one of the outstanding jingle writers of all time.
You mean you were one of the earlier pioneers of singing jingle writing?
Right, I've written some real standards.
Well, maybe some of our listeners know some of your jingles, do you think so?
I'm positive.
Would you give us an example?
You remember, but does in your washing machine. See the clothes come out so clean. When you do, you'll dance and sing. The Uzi does everything.
Look at his beady little eyes light up when he sings that.
You wrote
that commercial?
I wrote it, yes.
That's marvelous, but what else did you write?
How about this one? I am Chiquita Banana, and I've come to say bananas have to ripen in a certain way, you know.
You wrote those two commercials?
Yes, how about that?
I remember those when I was a kid. Anything else that you're famous for?
Oh, let's see. There was another great old jingle that I had a hand in writing, too. Yes. C-R-E-S-T-A. B-L-A-N-C-A. Cresta. Blanca.
Your last got some of my drink. Did you get the bartender?
I'm sorry, but I got carried away.
The bartender. Bartender?
Yeah.
Would you freshen up this for
you? Okay. But those are just a few of the great jingles that I have written over the past few years.
I assume the way you say in the past tense here, just were, you are out of a job now.
That's correct. I am on unemployment, you might say.
And how did you reach such a tragic ending?
Well, the singing jingle business sort of dropped off there after a while. The pitch man sort of came into being.
And they're using animation on television.
That's right, yes. So I had to resort to working on the set of a film-producing studio where they were making TV commercials.
Really?
Quite a come-down, wouldn't you say?
You worked as a set man, scene designer or something?
No, I was one of the men who was in charge of props. And there was this one commercial where they had the invisible shield, you know, the guy put the gun on there.
Yeah.
And we were doing a commercial about Gardol. It was my job to see that that shield was in front of the announcer.
Yeah, what happened?
Well, one day I had an extra long coffee break, and I forgot to come back in time, and the guy started his commercial, and of course the shield is invisible, and he didn't know it wasn't there.
Yeah.
And at the appropriate time, he said, just like this invisible shield protects me, they hit a golf ball, and no shield was there, and it caught him right in the mouth.
And what happened?
After that, the commercial just seemed to lose something.
What?
Me. I got fired. What do you think? What? So I'm sort of out in the cold again.
It's been wonderful chatting with you. Charlie Jingle, one of the great jingle writers of our industry.
We've got a deal. You want me to write some jingles for you?
No, I don't think so. Well, back to our studio. Forget it. No.
We take you now to a large television studio where a commercial is now in progress.
We'll turn to the Late Show in just 1 minute. Frankenstein meets the Garbage Man after this word from our new sneaky hide-a-bed, fold-a-bed made by the Zilch Bedding Company. First of all, ladies and gentlemen of television, you see this little footstool here. Actually, this is not a footstool at all, but this will actually fold up into two positions. First of all, a day couch. Second of all, a full-length bed. I will show you now. Here's the footstool. Watch this. With one easy adjustment, it's now a lovely day couch or just plain sofa. Now, the second position. Now, it's a complete full-size bed that'll sleep six comfortably. Three in the front and three in the back. Two headboards and a side pocket. Now, I will show you, being a 6'2" radio announcer, I will show you how a 6-footer can easily fit into this bed. Oy!
Our announcer, Joe Simmons, has just folded up inside the folding bed. We'll hold auditions Tuesday, provided the show doesn't fold between now and then.
The stars today are shining bright, gives lots of cowboy energy and a flavor that's just right.
Max Scott Ralston presents Tom Mixmaster of the West. Oh, I'm sorry.
Wait.
Oh, there's a comma after Mix. Tom Mix, Master of the West. Another thrilling story from out of the pages of Western history. Join us now for...
Get from Tom, go and tell your mom, Mr. Ralston can't be beat.
And now, for today's exciting chapter, the story of the missing middle name. As our story opens, we find Tom Mix, Master of the West, and his good friend, Sheriff Mike Shaw, as they are riding down Tom's 2,000-acre spread, the Oleo Ranch, which is much better than the higher-priced spread right down the road. We hear Mike say to Tom,
Jeffrey, check your press, Tom.
Yeah, Mike, I noticed that sassy grass over there. It's sure suffering in the sun. We haven't had enough rain. Mike, what do you think we're going to have for dinner?
Tom, no point in fooling around anymore, Tom.
What do you mean, Mike?
I finally found out your secret.
Hold it, boy. Whoa, whoa. This mouth, Mike.
Those are awful words.
I'm sorry, Tom. Suffering sassafras, but I finally found out your secret.
How did you find out my middle name, Mike?
That's a secret I found out, all right, and I found it in some old papers in the desk just this morning.
Mike, I never wanted anybody to know my middle name.
I couldn't help it, Tom. It was right there in black and white, and I had to see it.
And I guess you know that my full name is...
That's right, Tom Collins Mix.
Mike, I'm going to forget that you even found this out, and I'm going to take you with a grain of salt.
Tom, I'm going to take you with a shot of gin. That's mount. Suffering sassafras, Tom.
Join us tomorrow for another thrilling story of Tom Mix.
From Tom, don't tell your mom, Hustle Boston can't be beat.
Hello, everybody. Winter Scott here speaking to you from the beautiful Burning Stick Club in Manhattan's fashionable East Side, one of the more intimate clubs here. There's only room for about seven people and a trombone in this very swank, sophisticated night spot summer club in town. The Four Janitor brings you this special musical broadcast with the exciting new voice of Jerry Whale and the exciting music of Nat King Cong and his trio from the beautiful Burning Stick here. We want to thank the American Federation of Morticians, Julius Caesar, President. Thank you very much. Now, as the show gets on the road here, I'll introduce at this time our fine singing star of the evening, Mr. Jerry Whale. Let's hear it.
Thank you very much, Willie Scott. Good evening to the people out in the room there. I hope you can hear me, and welcome you folks out there at Radio Land. Just before we get started, I'd like to tell you about my new album on Calamity Records titled I Remember Enrico. Playing some of the great standard tunes of Caruso, such things as Best of Juba and Celeste Aida, two of the old standards. Now with Nat King Cong, trio here, we're going to sing an old standard. Nat, if you will, piano. Hope that you'll enjoy and reminisce as we hear an old favorite starting us out this evening by request. Matt Cong and the trio now, a song for the pen of Rodgers and Hart a few years back. A song for you. Lover.
Lover, when you hear me and I hear you speak my name. Lover, in my ear, you breathe a flame. Lover, it's Nat.
Nat, you're a little fast there, Nat. It's
immoral, but why quarrel? But
Nat, I can't keep the beat when you're listening to the intimate club. Nat, would you hold the tempo?
Nat, please, I'm trying to sing an extended tune here.
Nat, cut out fancy arpeggios with the right hand. But after all, Nat, maybe we've got a nice, sophisticated club here. I'm trying to keep my patience with you, Nat. If you just hold it down a little bit.
Who was right? How did you guys get in here? Hey, come on. Just wreck the bar. Come on. We got a nice, quiet place going. Oh, fellas, please. But they won't think I'm my outfit, fellas. I mean, after all, we got to... Hey, don't. Now, somebody hit me with a bottle. Come on, Matt. Come on, now, this is ridiculous, Matt. I mean, after all, look at all the things I gave you a big break in showbiz, Matt. I mean, after all...
Company presents the exciting adventures of the Yellow Ghost, starring John Snowden.
We took our men from Texas, from Kentucky, from the backwoods, from the mountains, from the hills, from the YMCA, the Boy Scouts, anywhere we could get them. We had them under orders, guerrilla fighting orders. What we lacked in number, we really lacked in brain. Both Rebs and Yankee strangers, they call called us Nosby's Rangers. Both east and west and north and south, they knew our fame and tried to shut my mouth. And Chicken Little is my name.
Major Side Van Nosby, CSA, Confederate States of America. This was the major the Confederate States boasted about most. This was Stonewall Jackson's right arm. This was Robert E. Lee's right leg. This was Ulysses S. Grant's thorn in his side. This was Mrs. Mosby's son, John. This is ridiculous. As our story opens, we find Major Nosby and his sergeant apparently getting ready to go inside the telegraph office to find out some message that's coming in from Richmond, new orders from Robert E. Lee. Let's join them as they approach the telegraph.
Right this way, Sergeant.
Be back.
You straighten up your bridge work, Sergeant.
Excuse me.
Hard to understand you. Now, this is a vital message we're going to receive, so when I walk into the office, please don't distract me.
It sure is good to be with you again after being held captive by the Union troops.
Someone in here, Sergeant.
Going to telegraph all these
miles. Message coming in, operator.
The message is coming in right now. It's coming in strong and fast. I think you better read it and later.
Thank you. Let me see that, please.
What did you say,
Sergeant Fire, please?
Sorry, will you? What did you say, Major?
Quiet,
Sergeant. Sorry, Major.
Oh, dear.
You from Robert E. Lee,
Major? No, Sergeant, no.
Sorry.
Bad.
You from Ulysses S. Grant, Major?
No, Sergeant, no, it isn't. Terrible.
You from Atlanta, Major?
No, it's news from Brooklyn, Sergeant.
Brooklyn, Sergeant?
That's right. I'm hearing the baseball results on telegraph now that Nat Albright isn't recreating the Dodger games anymore. They're losing 8-4 in the bottom of the eighth, Sergeant. This is terrible.
Yes, sir. I see the Yankees in the world, ain't you, Major?
No, you can't, Sergeant. Thank you very much. We'll be on our way. Both north and south, they knew our fame. Yellow Ghost is what they called me. Chicken Little is my name.
The Beltsville School of Ballet. This afternoon, Eddie Walker and I, the team of 2-1, went down to this Beltsville Ballet School to get some personal instruction and to do an on-the-spot interview of a ballet in progress.
I wish you could see these people here. Only they're doing such a beautiful job.
Really magnificent. We're going to talk with the owner, proprietor, and operator, the famous Prima Ballerini of the Berlitz School, I believe, in East Belgrade. Pardon me, sir, but are you Mr. Boris Offenbach?
That is correct. I am the professor of this Beltsville Ballet School.
Well, I noticed...
Keep going, Daddy, youngsters. Don't stop now.
Notice how sylph-like and dainty the students are, really.
The art of the ballet is one of the most picturesque in all the world.
Little three-year-old kid pirouetting over there.
That's right. Yes. He is doing that, yes.
Very exciting. Well, tell me, sir, a question that my partner Ed Walker and I would like to ask is, can anybody ballet?
Of course. Have you ever seen me before?
No,
it sounds like a commercial, but I'm just being realistic. Have you ever done the ballet before?
I couldn't ballet if I had to.
Yes, you can, because I, Boris Hoofenmouth, am going to teach you this afternoon.
Why, it's impossible for me to learn. I'm
too big. Knock off there. Take 5, 10, 15, something like that. Hurry back.
There they go. Look at
now them. Then we have the room all to ourselves.
Going out for a chocolate malt break there.
Now then, of course, we want you to know that the art of ballet is in stimulating the muscles of the legs and the arms. You must have very strong muscles.
I'm just too big. And
good coordination.
I'm not. Well, that's my problem. I cannot coordinate myself to
eat. Now we go over here to the ballet bar right over here on this side of the room.
I'll take a scotch and soda.
Oh, it's not that kind of bar, my friend. Now, you see this bar here?
Oh, this long exercise
bar. That is correct. Yeah. Now then, I want you to take your left leg.
Yeah.
Now, first of all, lay down on the floor. Lay down there.
Okay.
Now, take your left leg and throw it up over the top of the bar.
No. I'm sorry. It won't reach. No.
Yeah, try it again. I help you this time.
Okay.
Can we just keep it up over the bar?
I'm not sure, but I...
Did we strain something there?
I think you strained something.
Now, just hold the leg up over the bar.
I got one leg over the bar.
Now we throw the right leg up over the bar. Okay. Ready?
Oh, my heavens. This is... I got
a little stiff in the joints there, aren't you? Yeah.
Stiff in the joint is right.
Now then, we want to stretch you out. Now, you see these bars behind you?
Yeah, I got them.
Now, take your left arm.
My left arm.
And throw it back over your head.
It won't make it.
I help you. Here we are. Give me the arm.
Oh, my God. I think you busted my vertebra.
Now then, we got one more arm.
And one more bar.
Yeah, and I only got about another Blue Cross plow.
All right, let's try it now.
Okay.
Get the left arm up over the head like so.
You did it now.
Now, aren't you comfortable?
Well, I'm miserable. I can't even do anything at all. I'm stuck up here.
Yes, but look, how great this is for your muscles. You're stretching every sinew in your arm and leg.
I can't see a thing.
Willard, I hate to interrupt you and the professor. Our time is up now. We've got to go.
Oh, I'm so sorry you have to leave, Mr. Walker, Mr. Scott.
Well, I am too. Willard, come on down and we'll go now, okay?
Okay, I'll let go here.
Come on, get up. Come on.
I can't move.
I think we overworked him on his first day.
Call me a doctor.
All right, you're a doctor. Now back to our studio.
Bring it back to double, please.
Oh, there you are.
The greatest name in bird seed. The only bird seed that makes your parakeet smell.
Rosa, I like that, don't you?
Rosalia, would you please put the... Thank you. Makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle... Rosario, what are you doing?
We take a like a...
Like a Bear. Bring you the exciting true-to-life drama of Just Plain Still a Bear. Starring the gifted stage and screen stuff.
I've got other shows to do. I wish you'd stop fooling around.
Margaret Hartburn in a title role, and here's Margaret Hartburn in a title role who says,
I'm sick and tired of the whole mess myself.
Me too. I think that's kind of ridiculous here.
Just
trying to do my job.
You don't know how to play the organ better than that.
I've been on the air
for 25 years now. I mean, they're good sponsors. Though.
I like this song.
I don't care what you like. The point is, you're ruining the whole show.
That's a matter of opinion.
Well, I'm through.
This show is ruined.
Come on, Papa Bear.
Let's get out of here.
For WRC's own feminine reporter of the world news, as Patty came in with a new WRC coffee club. Exciting guest with nice conversation along with a pleasant cup of coffee. This Kevin's guest has been called furnished by Gilkin, the greatest name in coffee. Now here she is, Miss Patty Cavin.
Thank you very much. Willard, not so hot. And this is Patty Cavin here broadcasting from our little coffee club where we serve nothing but Gilkin's coffee and we just have a wonderful time. This afternoon, we have... Don't be nervous now. Just hold the cups down, please. We have with us this afternoon Mrs. Oliver Twist. Mrs. Twist, say hello to our friends out there in Radio Land.
Hello to our friends out there in Radio Land.
That's right. Mrs. Twist is visiting with us. Her husband is working for the United States government, of course.
Patty, it's wonderful to be on your show.
That's Patty, yes. We're very happy to have you with us, Mrs. Twist. Now, over on the other side of the studio, we have Mr. J. Herman Zilch, author of that new best-selling book, I Was a Time Salesman for Radio Free Earth. Mr. Zilch, welcome.
How do you do, Miss Cavett? It's wonderful to be on your program again.
It's wonderful to have you with us. And over on the other side of the studio, we have Senator J. Glenmore. What's your last name, sir?
Well, my last name is Brampton. Brampton, that's right. Yes, Miss Cavett. Very happy to be here with you this afternoon.
Now, our first question is to Mrs. Twist over there on the other side of the studio. What do you think of the present layout of the Washington street system?
I'm terribly sorry. I had a mouthful of Gilkins.
I'm sorry. I didn't realize.
I'm terribly sorry. I didn't get the... Would you come back to me in a few
minutes? Yes, I'm there, sir. Tell me, Mr. Frampton, what do you think of it?
Sorry, Miss Cavin. I had a mouthful of coffee there, too. I was just taking a little slug. That's needy.
You, sir, what was your opinion on Mr.
I'm sorry, Miss Cavin, but I was drinking some of your Gilkin's coffee and I didn't get the question.
What? I see. Yes. Well, let me try again. Mrs. Twist, back to you now. What do you feel about the life of a socialite?
I'm terribly sorry.
Mr.
Twist. You scared me. Listen, Mr. Brampton, would you please put your foot on the other side of the table?
I'm sorry, Mr. Twist. I'm sorry. Just playing footsie there with you.
Mr. Zilch, how do you feel about this particular situation here?
I need a little more cream in my coffee.
Yes, certainly, sir. Here you are.
Thank you very much. Look, I'm sorry, Miss Cavin, but I have a very important engagement. May I take my coffee and get out of here?
Yes.
All right. Goodbye. I say that you got that all. I have to go too, Miss Cavin, if you don't mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Announcer, I'm afraid all of our guests are leaving.
I'm sorry, Miss Cavin. I was testing some of your sales coffee here and I. Oh, my goodness, the boss sees me with coffee spilled over my front. I got to get out of here. I'll lose my job.
Nothing like being left alone, is there? Bye.
Hall home of a very wealthy gentleman and world traveler in the nation's capital, Mr. Nathan Nasal, who has made a very interesting hobby of collecting various heads of various types of animals, and he has them here in this beautiful, beautifully appointed game room of his beautifully appointed home in his beautifully neighborhood. Mr. Nasal, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Mr. Scott, and welcome to my home.
Your name is most unusual, Nathan Nasal. Is there a story behind this?
I am named after my grandfather. His name was Nathan Also.
Oh, well, Mr. Also?
No, Nasal.
Oh. Anyway, it's really quite a pleasure for us to be here in this place. Look at all of the stuffed animals you have in this. What
did you know, I have stuffed all of these myself. I'm quite an expert at the art of taxidermy.
Oh, you are a taxidermist.
That is correct.
I thought you had the work set out to Bergman's.
Well, do I do it all myself?
Oh, I see. Well, could you point out some interesting heads on the wall?
Right over here, for instance, you'll find the ring-tailed, hook-nosed, buzzard-beaked, twin-eyebrowed orangutan.
That's very interesting. Where did you catch him?
This I caught in Australia a few years ago when I was on a safari of that country.
Is that a him or a her orangutan?
That is a him.
Him orangutan.
That is correct.
Him orangutan.
That's right.
Well, let's. What, oh, look at that. What is that big. What is that sprawled out in front of your fireplace with the big feet and the long arms? What is that?
Oh, that's my teenage boy. He's just getting ready to watch television, and that's his natural posture.
I'm sorry. I thought it might have been one of the.
Nothing like that. Oh. Do you notice over here on this wall is a zebra, or what I might say is what's left of a zebra?
That's very interesting. Just a zebra tail hanging on the wall there.
Yes.
What's the story behind that?
My partner and I killed that zebra, and then we flipped to see who got what end, and I lost.
You lost.
Yes,
I see. Oh, let's see. Well, look at that big, bushy thing over there on the floor with the long tail and the great big eyes. Well, what kind of animal is that?
That's my pet dog.
Oh, that's not a stuffed animal.
No.
I thought he was moving. It worried me a little bit.
Here's a very interesting animal over here. This is known as the yellow-striped, hard-shelled...
Pepsodent, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, I noticed with the... I could tell the pepsodent.
This animal I captured is a tropical animal. I captured it in eastern Pennsylvania. The odd part about it, I was deer hunting at the time.
And your bifocals got...
Got all steamed up there, yes.
Well, oh, look, gracious. I've never seen anything quite like that over there, brother.
That's
over there, standing with the fireplace, the great big bushy eyebrows, and the long, straggly white hair, and those big ears. What's that?
Oh, my boy, that's my mother-in-law.
I heard that, Junior. Hi, honey, how are you?
I'm terribly sorry, madam. I
think you'd best leave now, Mr. Scott. It's feeding time.
You feed these animals around here?
No, my mother-in-law.
Brings with it, along with pleasure and fun, the threat of moths and their corruption to various articles of clothing. And so, for our next interview, we took our WRC portable microphone down to the deep coal storage plant of Mr. Larvex, of the Larvex Coal Storage people in downtown Washington. We're going to tour his coal storage plant for storing furs and woolens. Mr. Larvex, welcome to our show.
Yeah, sure. You bet you there, Mr. Scott. It's a great treat for me to be with you and all your folks out there this afternoon on the radio.
That slight accent indicates that you're not from Washington. Would you tell us where you're from?
I'm from Sweden.
Oh, yes. You were born in Sweden originally.
Yeah, sure. You bet you there. And I come over to this country a long time ago, and I've been here ever since.
Well, Mr. Larvex, it's certainly a pleasure for us to be in this beautiful, modern coal storage plant of yours. Could we go inside and see the vault?
Well, I see you wore your longies this afternoon, so I guess it's all right. It gets kind of chilly in there, you know.
Very good. Well,
we just open the door, Harry, and we walk right on in here now. Come on, right, follow me there. This, you'll find, is a very nice vault, Harry. It gets cold. I'll tell you that. It's really cool inside here.
Crazy inside here, yeah.
Mr. And right over on this side of the vault here, you'll see where we got all the furs.
And you store all the furs and woolens and various rugs and articles of clothing in here for people.
We got everything here from mink-dyed skunk to skunk-dyed mink. I tell you that. We do.
What is the temperature in the room here?
Well, the temperature here is about 25 degrees.
Keep it real cold. Yeah, it's bristling in here. Below
yes,
zero.
Of course it is. Oh, yes, sir.
Crazy.
And over here is where we store the rugs, you see. A lot of people take their rugs up in the summertime.
That's
because
right.
They don't want to get no moths in the carpet there.
Hey, excuse me.
What's the matter?
My neck up there. Feel a little itch on my neck.
Good imagination. When you start talking about bugs, you start imagining all sorts of things there, you know.
There's one on my arm.
Now, over here is where we store all of the suits and the people store their winter clothes in here, too, you see.
There's one on my arm.
Are you all right there, Mr. Scott?
I'm sorry, but something
you got, you got me doing it here now because just the power of suggestion.
There's another one on my arm.
I think you got... Yeah. Wait, just a minute, Mr.
Mr. Scott.
You got something on the wall. Where are you going?
Hey, Otto. Where are you, boy?
What are you calling Otto? Who's Otto?
Otto, the Orkin man. I think we got problems. I think you must have brought those bugs in here with you, Scott.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
In the eastern United States, one of the most colorful group of Indians still left in this part of the country. And our janitor microphone is here to bring you a special report concerning Indian witchcraft. For years and years, traditionally, the Indian witch doctor has been able to predict and forecast the weather through strange gyrations of his body, through strange movements of his hands, shaking his head and wriggling his body so that he can make contact with the spirits and therefore change the weather. And we're talking to one of these witch doctors now. You are Dr. Chief Poconos, right?
That's right. Me, Chief Poconos.
That's a very strange name, Chief. Any relation to that name and where you are?
Well, me used to be Chief Shawnee on Delaware. Then Fred Waring run me out town. Then me Cleveland Indian, but they make trade. Now I move Western Pennsylvania. Me Western Pennsylvania Indian, Chief Poconos.
That's pretty bad bed, Chief.
Cleveland Mountains.
Yeah, well, I've been
living mountains.
Not too good a bed, Chief. I think you need a new writer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me, witch doctor.
Witch doctor?
Yeah, that's right.
So which doctor are you, I mean?
Me, the only witch doctor.
Walla walla.
Bing bang.
Yeah. Well,
you bug, Chief. You know that?
Well, sorry, Chief. I don't mean to get you all riled up. Put your Tommy Hawk down.
Me could go back to dig stereo in teepee.
Oh, you got stereo in your teepee?
That's right. Me listen to Ema Sumac and Hi-Fi.
Oh, but Charlie Barnett records are big up here, too, huh?
Oh, that's right.
Well, Chief, you can predict and forecast the weather, is that right?
That's correct.
Would you care to show our janitor listeners just how you do it?
Me show you, janitor listeners, just how I'll do it.
Okay, how do it?
He's
taking a goat's head. Chief now has two gourds, one in each hand, and the gourd he is taking in to a perpendicular order and managing to cause all sorts of gastric nations here. Chief, what have you done now?
We got weather for you.
What's the weather going to be, Chief?
It's going to thunder.
Wait, that's amazing, Chief. That's amazing. I've never seen a demonstration. This is really, I'm a believer. How did you do it, Chief?
Me dial WE61212 for program.
Oh, brother. Let's get that.
Comfort index 70.
Knock it off. Back to the studio.
It's time once more for Great Moments in History, the facts and true story behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. And now, for today's exciting true story, the story of Napoleon Bonaparte and Waterloo. The scene is a hospital outside the battlefield of Crécy. The battle has just ended, and Napoleon Bonaparte and his faithful lieutenant, Lou Bugeaud, have just concluded the battle. But in the process of the battle, Lou Bugeaud, Napoleon's dear boyhood friend ever since college days at Yale Bulla Bulla, was lying near death on his bed. Napoleon walks up to Lou and says,
Lou, my friend, I'm sorry that you had a trouble in the Battle of Crécy, eh?
Yes, that was a crazy battle, wasn't it, Napoleon?
Swinging battle. Swinging, yes.
Napoleon, my dear boyhood friend.
Yes, Lou.
I am dying of thirst.
Tell them all, Lou.
Would you give me some water, Napoleon?
But of course. All right, for my friend Lou, I won't do anything. Are you ready, Lou?
Yes.
Here is your water, Lou.
And that's today's great moment in history, the story of Napoleon and Waterloo.
I'm sorry. We're all sorry. Would you apologize, please, Napoleon?
I'm sorry.
We're all sorry. Lou, would you apologize?
I'm sorry.
We take you now to the operating room of one of the city's larger hospitals.
Scalpel.
Scalpel, doctor.
Sutures.
Sutures.
Needle.
Needle.
Cotton.
Cotton.
Gloves.
Gloves.
Water.
Water.
Two shots.
Scotch.
Bourbon.
Oh.
Portable transistor radio.
Portable transistor radio.
Certainly. 4:05 in time for the Walker and Scott show.
Doc, you gotta help me. I'm dying.
You think you're dying? Wait till you hear the show. Speaking to you from the National Gallery of Art down here in Washington, D.C., where we're attending an art show and special evening performance as our microphone of WRC is placed here in the gallery. We want to be as quiet as possible not to disturb the spectators who are viewing these rare treasures around here.
Yes.
At this time, we're going to interview Mr. Raphael Frembrandt. Is it Frembrandt, sir?
That is correct, yes. Mr. Scott, Raphael Frembrandt.
Mr. Frembrandt, you have been collecting paint for years, haven't you?
That is right. My job is to buy rare and unusual paintings and see that they are hung here in the gallery.
I notice there's a gallon of Sherwin-Williams over there in the corner. Is this,
Yes, we touch up some of the paintings that we receive in here. There's a gallon of something else over in the other corner, but I won't go into that right now.
Oh, I think somebody already has.
Yes.
Half empty.
Oh, they did, didn't they?
Well, certainly it's nice for you to take your time and show us. Would you show us some of these paintings, my partner, Ed Walker? Ed, are you?
Yes, I'm just noticing these paintings, and they are. I notice you have stacks of them here. That is correct. We are just about to hang these paintings on the wall. And we have expenses, no... pardon me. Expenses of no object here. Money means nothing. We pay thousands of dollars, or even hundreds of thousands of dollars, for these rare collector's items.
What is this one over here?
This is an original Panatella.
Oh, yeah.
You notice the lakes and the lagoons.
Yeah, really beautiful lagoons.
Yes, and it's a very beautiful painting. This is valued at $5,000.
French painting, lagoon, isn't it?
Yes.
Really lovely.
Now then, you got to handle this very carefully. These are, of course,
really gorgeous.
I like to hang this. I think this is a good spot for that one, don't you, Mr. Scott?
I think so, right over here.
I agree, yes. I think
there. Eddie, you want to hang that?
All right, hand it here, please. Sure. They'd be very careful now. This is, of course, a $5,000 painting.
Okay.
I'll try to hang it.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
Did I,
Yeah, you've got a nail in the back of the wall.
I tore the...
That's too bad. Well, look at some others over here.
Yes, of course. Well, let's chalk that up to profit and loss. Now, over here is, an original Whistler's sister.
Oh, yes, I can see this face in her teeth.
Whistler's Whistler. I'm not exactly sure which it is.
Christine Whistler, I think.
Yes, and this is valued at $10,000. You notice every little nuance of the face is captured in that painting. Now, we'll try to hang this one. Mr. Scott, would you like to try this? Your friend, Mr. Walker, is a trifle clumsy.
He's nervous.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. Here, Willard, I hope you do a better job.
Be
very careful.
Put it over the fountain here.
That's good. Oh, no.
There's another nail. Oh,
Willard.
I'm sorry.
The pot calling the kettle black.
I know, Pop.
Oh, I'm sorry about that. I'm very sorry. That's an irreplaceable Whistler sister there.
Yes, well, that's too bad.
Well, let's see. We'll try to hang one more.
Over there in the corner. Well.
Now, this is a Sabatussi.
Oh, the original.
Yes, this one is worth... Get this. This is worth
$20,000.
$20,000 tax, not even counted.
Well, I'll tell you what, you better have it.
I think I'd best, yes. I know your intentions are well. This we bought from Vincent Price or Edward G. Robinson, one of those arty movie actors there. That,
certainly.
All right, now, I just very lightly tap the nail in there. And. Oh, no. They'll shoot me for this. What are you playing such gay music on the piano? Can't you see I just wrecked a $20,000 painting?
We'd better switch.
I don't care if people are watching. I can't stand it.
Leave the art gallery now. The art gallery is being moved. Come back to our studio.
Great, because they're clumsy.
iTunes every Tuesday afternoon about this time. We take a little trip down to Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen to see what the old gal has cooked up. So shall we just walk on down the hall here? And there's the door. Emily, get my shoulder behind it. I'll just open it up here. The door is sticking every day of them. There it is. Here we are once again inside the portals of Betty Crockett's experimental kitchen. Betty, are you all right?
Yeah, I don't think you are. No, I'll never hit.
Hello, Betty.
Hello, Eddie. How are you?
No, honey. I'm Willard. Eddie's on vacation.
I thought he was away. I didn't see no big shoe prints outside the door. You can kill the theme, Arthur.
Nothing.
Oh, dear. Well, how are you, Eddie?
No, Betty. I'm Willard, and Eddie's away.
I knew they'd finally put him away. It's about time. He's about out of his head. He's a big, sick boy.
Well, Betty, why don't you just, instead of commenting, making like a John Crosby, give our good listeners out there in Radioland a recipe?
Mm-hmm, sure do.
Sure do what, Betty?
Sure do think so.
Think what, Betty?
Think Eddie's a much better disc jockey than you are.
Betty, that's not the point. Just give a red speed.
Well, it's the point with me, because I'd much rather work with him.
Well, all right, Betty. But you give us the recipe, and we don't care about personalities.
You sure don't. You don't have to worry about it. You ate one.
Oh, you're sick. Betty, just give us a recipe.
All right, girls, get your pencils and papers out, and here's today's recipe.
Well, what is it?
Galvanized gopher gizzard.
I beg your pardon?
Galvanized gopher gizzard.
Well, would you care to tell us how to do this?
Well, you get yourself a mess of gopher gizzards, and you steam them for about an hour and a half, don't you know?
Yeah, you steam them for an hour and a half. Then what?
Well, then you galvanize them.
You galvanize them?
Yes.
Well, how do you do that?
I don't know. I never made it myself. I just saw it written on the back of the...
Oh, brother. Well, that's another adventure, and a misadventure with Betty Crockett in our experimental kitchen. This program may or may not be broadcast again next Tuesday at this time.
I bet it will. I got friends and managers.
Lombardo's orchestra.
Jolly it is. Hey, why don't you go up and get his autograph?
All right, I will. Hey, excuse me, sir, but aren't you Guy Lombardo?
Yes. Yes. Yes, I am.
NBC International Broadcasting. I'm here, nervous.
I thought you were going to call me Mother.
Okay, Mother. The sun is shining high up in the sky. And here's the girl with her finger in her eye. Washington's own weather forecaster, a charming and ever-loving, effervescent, sparkling, bubbling, enthusiastic, lovable Miss Janitor, as she steps out of her glass booth. Boy, you got a running tackle on that one. Why don't you watch that mic cable?
How did they move it?
Why don't you watch it? You've been tripping the same thing every day. How can you miss the thing? What do you want? Anyway, here she is, our own weather girl, Miss Janitor with the Washington Temperatures.
Pocono, Maryland. Mary Hill. Brookdale on the lake. Harry's Hacienda.
Wait a minute. What are you doing in the Pocono Mountains?
These are honeymoon resorts. And this being the month of June, and all the honeymooners are honeymoon bound.
Well, I mean, this is a nice...
And I wish I were with them.
Thought. Well, I wished you were, too.
What are you doing after the show?
Not going to the Poconos with you. That's something I know I'm not going to be doing. But, you have to... Why do you ad-lib these things?
I just get carried away. Whatever spirit sends me to do, I do.
But this is... No, we're not a marriage counselor show. It's a plain old record show. We play records.
Incidentally, speaking of folks in the know...
And now, great moments in history.
It's time, ladies and gentlemen, of the true stories and facts behind momentous events that have helped to shape the present-day world. And now, for today's true story. Our scene, a mountaintop in Tennessee. Our character, Davy Crockett. The story that you know to be truth up to this day is the story about Davy Crockett killing him a bar when he was only 3. As our story opens, we find Davy Crockett and all the gang inside the Red Dog Saloon up on Hohenwald, Tennessee Mountain.
Hey there, bartender. Give me a shot of Nine Tails in the dirty glass, sir, will you?
Sure enough, Davy. By golly, Davy, I'm glad you stopped in here.
Why's that, bartender?
We got us a bar back there in the woodhouse.
There's a bar right here where I'm a stand-in, bartender.
No, I don't mean this kind of bar. This is a bar with hair and teeth. I thought you'd go back in the woodhouse and take care of it.
We mean a grizzly bar.
A great big, fierce grizzly bar.
You wait here, bartender. I'll be right back.
He's only 3 years old, Davy, so treat him gentle.
All right.
There,
bar! Okay, bartender, I took care of him for you.
What'd you do, Davy?
I killed him.
You killed that 3-year-old bar?
Yep.
Son of a gun, Davy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got an idea.
What's that?
We can start us a legend here.
How do you mean?
Well, we can say that you killed yourself a bar when he was only 3.
They won't know whether it was me that was three at the bar.
That's right.
Truth is, I'm 40.
You know what, Davey?
What's that?
Some square like Walt Disney will buy that story and make us all $1 million.
That's right. Anybody put out a picture square Snow White is a soft touch.
I'm going to make a telephone call.
Do that, yeah.
And so that's the story of another great moment in history. The story about Davy Crockett killing Mabar when he was only three. Davy was 40, the bear was three.
What a hot day. Man, it must be 98 out there. Well, good to be back on the job again. Let me just go on inside here. Ah, nice and cool here in the air-conditioned NBC building. You might have a vacation, but it's good to be back. See everybody. Oh, there's Marie, the switchboard operator.
Hi, Marie. How are you?
Quiet, please, the burden.
Oh, nice. She's not very friendly. I guess it's just hot. It's Perky, the page.
Hi, Perk, boy. How are you, kid?
Perk? Oh. My name's Pete. Wonder what the bed is here. Well, let's see. I'll go down to the studio here. Yeah, there's Bob Shenton, the recording engineer.
Hi, Bob. How are you, huh?
Well, that wasn't very cordial either, was it? Hey, there's Art Page, our engineer.
Art, look who's back, boy. How are you, kid, huh?
Quiet. I'm busy threading up a tape. Nothing.
Oh, okay. Hey, where's... Well, I tell what I'll do. I'll call up Bill Grayson, the program director. He'll be glad to see I'm back again. Start wondering where I am. I should have called him earlier, I guess. He'd want to know 257. That's the old number here. Yes, sir.
I'm on Grayson, program department.
Hi, Bill. Hi, this is Eddie.
Eddie who?
Huh? Ed Walker. You know, I'm back from vacation.
Ed what? From where?
Ed Walker, you know, on Twilight Tunes. I've been away for a week.
Oh, thank you very much. No, we already have a show by that name. I don't think we could use another Twilight Tunes on the station, but thank you very much for calling, Mr. Talker.
But Bill, that's what I mean. I'm a... Oh, forget it.
Forget it.
For goodness sake, he didn't even... I don't think they remember me. You know, for 1 week. One lousy... Oh, Willard will remember me. He said, Willard, how are you? Boy, geez, good to see you. Everybody's kind of giving me the...
Quiet. We're getting ready to go over there. Hey, just sit over there. I'll talk to you in a second.
Well, Willard is getting on there.
Hi, boys and gals. Willard Scott here with this show. On the Willard Scott Show, 405 here at WRC in time for good music. Hope you'll sit back, relax, and bob up your 50s. Keep that high five set of swingers. We got the finest music in town. So don't you go too far away. I'll guarantee it's a good show with lots of good music. A couple of commercials. And it's now in Monroe Sound.
Willard.
No more of that stereo jazz with a mouth.
Take that theme off there, Paige. Hey, listen, what's the matter? Well, you changed the theme and the whole format. What are you doing to me? I've only been gone for a week.
Hey, Baldy, don't bug me. I'm doing my show.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Afternoon, the star of the new motion picture Horse Soldiers, Mr. William Holden, is with us here today.
Thanks.
Wait a minute, Bob. Don't use the tape on the air. We want him to think it's a live interview. Okay. Willard, do you want to talk to our guest here?
Sure do, yeah. Bob. Bob Shenton is our... He's not our guest, is he?
No, he's our recording engineer. Oh. William Holden is...
Thanks.
No, not yet.
Hold on a second here. It's certainly a great pleasure to welcome Bill Holden to our microphone.
Thanks very much.
No, Bob. Wait a minute. It's a great pleasure to welcome Bill Holden to our microphone, and it's great to take time out from your busy schedule, Bill, and talk with us today. It certainly is a pleasure to have you. Bob, you're running. Wait, this is very. Let's try and get the top, if you don't mind. It's a great pleasure to welcome Bill Holden to our microphone, and it's certainly great that you could take time out from your busy.
Actually, that is correct.
It was no, second
December of 1938.
Second answer. You get the right. Chew it up at the beginning. Let's take it to the top. I'll just ad-lib the introduction, okay? Certainly wonderful to have with us in the studio Bill Holden, who is one of the great actors of Hollywood. Bill, welcome to our program. It's certainly a pleasure to have you here.
I first signed at Paramount, and so this does make 20 years.
It sure does. It seems like that, Bill, and it's certainly nice that you could take the time out. I know this is a wonderful picture that you're appearing in this afternoon.
Well, I brought
And, excuse me,
I understand you're married and have a wonderful family. Is that right?
Well, I think that most of keeping in shape has to do with the type of product one appears in.
Yeah.
And occasionally I've been fortunate enough to get into the kind of pictures that are kind of physically demanding, and I think it's...
yeah. Well, Bill, I understand your grandmother used to raise chinchillas. That's sort of an interesting sideline that we were told here in the studio. Is this... yeah, Bob, all right, I'm feeling as best I can.
It is complicated, and it is two-faced.
What, chinchilla raising?
The responsibility of on one hand, saving men's lives, and secondly, the responsibility to the unit which is out to destroy men's lives.
Well, Bill, I understand you're a very close friend of John Wayne, who is also co-starring in this motion picture with you, and the two of you often get together off the set for a little evening of cards or partying or something like that. Is that right, Bill? Bob, I think the tape has slipped off the reel.
I'll take it to the last question.
No, it's a version, Ray.
Yeah, well, just a second here. I'll get the last question. I understand that you and John Wayne went to high school together. Is that correct, Bill? Or is this something that's just been Bill? Yeah, okay, well. It's, all right, forget it. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure to have you on our program, Bill Holden, and we hope you can come back and see us the first time you get a chance back to our studios. Really appreciate you stopping by, Bill. Anytime you can come back, do it, please.
Thanks very much. Pleasure being here.
I don't believe it.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the exciting true-life story of Just Bear. Kind old lady, about Mama Bear, Papa Bear, and young Herbert Bear. Apparently, Herbert's trying to work with the discomfort humidity index, as we hear Herbert say to his mother,
"Boy, it sure is a hot day here, isn't it, Ma?"
Hooey.
Oh, I'm going to figure out a scientific experiment here now. I'll just take the thermometer off the wall here.
Herbert, now what are you doing?
I wrap it up in gauze and dip it in a glass of water like this.
Wait.
Now I just swing it around like this 3 times and toss it over my left shoulder.
Stereo sound man, boy. He'll never quit. Even the sound man's a line hog on this show.
Well, the temperature humidity index is 0.
You mean the thermometer is busted?
That's right. I've been watching that Frank Forrester show, and he's got the wrong scoop somewhere, boy. I'll tell you.
I think we got the wrong baby down at the zoo the last time.
Kong Birdseed has brought to you another exciting episode of Just Plain Still a Bear, the story of love and tenderness in a world too busy to care. That's a new line. We've never used that one since the opening of the show. Dying margin, I'm better than time alone. I'm still a little heavy on the argument there, Rosario. Based on the book Done Enough, Suited Up by Claudia Clyde, adapted for radio by Geraldine Fitzgeraldine. This has been a Sherman D. Tank production.
You're welcome. Oh!
Succeeded in wrecking the studio there. Right time, Cowboy Joe, done by David Seville and the Chipmunks.
Nothing. Time at WRC is 6-0 before 5 o'clock.
And then we'll be back at 5:05. Oh, we go to straight up, and I started signing off too early. Well,
okay, why don't you read your draft card
here for a Social Security number? I could read that. I'll tell you what I'll do. The temperature right now, make everybody unhappy. 98 degrees, relative humidity, 37%, and the temperature humidity index, courtesy Frank Forrester, is 85. Frank, just thank you, sir.
Frank, please. No personalization to sponsor. Well, thank you all very much for listening. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Creep.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Good station break.
I'll do a station break.
I've been talking to my daughter for a week, and it's, where's
that? They're nothing in baby talk.
Ninu, nanu, ninu.
5 o'clock. Knock it off.
Silver! Hooray!
literal thrills, makers of glass jaws for spirited youngsters, present The Lone Ranger. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater fugitive of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear, when out of the west comes the thundery hoofbeats of the great horse Silver, The Lone Ranger.
Yay! On, you steady leg fellow! We've got to get to Tonto! Tonto!
As our story opens, the Lone Ranger is faced with Indian companion Tonto, are camped outside of town. The Lone Ranger's nephew, Dan Rod, has just been drafted and was no longer a drag on the masked man. As we join the masked man and his faithful Indian companion, we hear the Lone Ranger say,
Tonto, it seems very lonely without Dan, doesn't it?
Him, good fella, Kimos Lobby. Him get drafted, serve country well.
That's right, Tonto.
Him 43, him stay in woods long enough, keep draft board away.
That's right, Tonto. Tonto, you look worried.
Masked man, move hearts away from fire, him blowing fire out. Masked man, Tonto have plenty trouble.
What is it, Tonto?
Last week, teepee burned down, can't get new FHA, need money refinance house.
That's terrible, Tonto.
Terrible? For your teepee, worse than that, masked man.
Tonto, you and I have always been friends, Kimosabe. What can I do to help?
Meanwhile, back at the ranch, the Lone Ranger and his... Oh, they were some fire. Pardon me, I came in wrong here. I shouldn't come in there. Back to our story.
As I was saying, Tonto, what is it you need?
Tonto need money. Tonto have trouble. Right here, River City, Tonto need a loan.
Well, how much, Tonto?
About 1,500.
All right, Tonto. There, Tonto.
Thank you, Masked Man. Never forget this. Tonto, plenty grateful.
You are welcome, Tonto. Just pay at the end of the month. 6% interest.
Let him go. On, big fellow. Oh, Silver. Hey.
Tell me something, Paul.
Hey, what is it, Mom?
Who is that fella with the mask?
That fella is the Lone Ranger.
How about a little cup of coffee, Jack?
I could use some coffee, yes, sir.
Here, how you like this? Try this inside.
Thank you very much. Very good, but there's no bottom in the cup, Nick.
I know. It makes it last a lot longer. That way it's all swinging, that is.
Yes, it does.
Yes, that way.
I want to read a good book.
Hey, quiet, Phil, but get back with your mama and make some mayonnaise over there.
Yeah.
In the kitchen. Yes, your name is what again, Mr. Georgetown?
No, I'm Maxwell House, and we're broadcasting from Georgetown.
That's very poetic. Maxwell House, we may do something with that later on.
Yes, I notice you have the shelves just full of books here. Could you tell us a little bit of what your catalog consists of, Nick?
Yes.
Good. What sort of books do you have here?
I've been waiting for you to ask me that, Daddy. I was hoping you would. We got some swinging books here that have just come out for Beatniks, and it's pretty interesting book reading.
Pretty interesting, yes. What sort of books?
Well, a new seller that just came out last week from Randomhurst is called No Pad for Dad. It's a real big smeller, and it's going to be big all over the charts next month. Also, we have Oliver Wendell Holmes Meets the Wolfman, which is a sequel to You Know Who Said That.
Of course.
Then we have another one that are really in for poetic people. We have the 13th Dynasty Chinese Poems that go over big, if you like, Chinese poems.
The original or translated?
This is done in loose translation. I did it myself while making a pizza in the back of the house here. Also, cannibals don't use Alka-Seltzer is a list of recipes from the African Trahubi.
Sounds like you have a quite extensive. How about for the youngsters? Do you have anything for kids?
Yeah, we sure do, Daddy. I'm glad you mentioned that. We got Tales That Wail for the kids.
Tales That Wail.
That's right. We have a new biology book just for these two.
Biology?
Yeah, from the Harvard Press.
And what is it called?
Man.
I see. I've always been quite a fan of Tarzan myself. Do you have anything with Tarzan stories in it?
Good question, Swingin' Daddy. We have a whole new series on Tarzan called Swingin'.
Swingin'. Right?
Swingin', yeah, that's pretty bad, but that's the best we can do with the writers we got.
Any other highlights that you'd like to cover here before we leave?
Yes, I would. I'd like to ask you to get out of the shop. Your hair is combed.
Well, I always go with my
hair. That is the first rule in the book. If you're beatnik, your hair is not combed.
I thank you very much.
Let it fall down over your eyes and let your nose turn up, but don't comb your hair in my non-existent donut shop.
I certainly wish you luck.
Gilbert, would you get him out of here?
Oh, I will. Right this way.
Now, just a moment. You are out, buddy. Out, yeah.
Hey, bring the bottom back of that tub, Daddy.
Bye.
NBC Sports Review Newsreel is on the air. Last Friday night, New York's Yankee Stadium was the scene of one of the most exciting fights in the fight business between Floyd Patterson and Ingemar Johansson. Now, the NBC Sports Review Newsreel presents the highlight of that fight, and here it is by tape recording.
Oh! Hey, I'm sorry there, Floyd. I sure didn't mean to hit you so hard. Get up there, boy. I'll take you out and buy you a nice smorgasbord, eh?
Oh. Gentle as a bear. As our store opens, we find Mama Bear and Papa Bear and their 38-year-old wealthy playboy son, Herbert Bear, sitting inside the living room underneath a cake of extract to keep cool. As Herbert looks at his mother and says,
"Hey, Ma, I just looked at my watch. It's time for the lucky contest on WWVH here."
"Wait a minute, Herbert. What on the heaven's name are you talking about?"
"Well, you know, they read off a dollar bill and they read the last serial numbers, and if you got the same kind of a dollar bill, then you win $1,000 or something like that."
"You don't believe in all that hokey pokey, do you, Herbert?"
"Thank you.
You know one thing, Herbert. You never got nothing. You never got something for nothing. You know that, don't you?"
"I know something else, Papa Bear."
"What's that?"
"We're going to have a new boy playing your part if you don't let me. Me and Molly Berg, we had control and interest in these shows."
"Well, don't mess around now, won't you? Turn on the radio for me, please."
"Okay, let's see. If you cannot have to be foolish, you know you don't get nothing for something, like Papa Bear
said." "That's right, now."
"All right.
Early going.
There it is.
There, give it to get on the time for a lucky boy contest. They spin the wheel around, and where she stops, we'll see now in just a minute. Yes, sir. This next dollar bill is worth $10,000 if you have the dollar bill with these numbers on it. H as in Herkimer, 2, 4, 6, 3, 9, 5, I as in item. If you have that dollar bill, report to our suburban studios just 250 miles away from this town within the next 2 seconds, and you win $10,000.
"Henry, I got it. I've got the dollar bill. Here it is. H is in Herkimer, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, tune I, item. That's mine. I got it. I'm going to hurry up. I've got to get down there."
"Herbert Bear."
"What's the matter?"
"That's got a picture of Jefferson Davis on it, where George Washington should be."
"Somebody told me to save it, that the South is going to rise again. How do you like that?"
"Call the station. Maybe they got soda and relatives."
"I don't know."
"Save your money, the South's going to rise." "That creep. King Kong Bear's Seed is brought to you in an exciting episode of Just Plain Still of Air, based on the book Not Enough Soon Enough by Claudia Clyde, adapted for radio by Geraldine Dex Geraldine. This has been a Sheriff's Tank. You're welcome."
"I love you very, very much."
"Beg your pardon, Charles. I didn't quite get that."
"I say I love you very much."
"Huh?"
"I love you very much."
"Oh, you love me, yes, sir."
"Yes.
Yes. Oh. Charles.
I think you're the most gorgeous woman I know."
"What'd you say, Charles?"
"I say, I think you're the most gorgeous woman I know."
"Think I'm the most what, Charles?"
"Gorgeous. Beautiful."
"Oh, yes, Charles. Thank you. Well, thank you.
I love the way the moon shines on your hair."
"What about the moon on your underwear, Charles?"
"No, I say the moon on your hair. I think it is marvelous."
"Oh, the moon on the hair, yes."
"Yes.
A fine book, Charles, yes."
"I love the way the diamond necklace around your neck sparkles in the moonlight."
"I'm sorry, Charles. It's coming in. I didn't hear that."
"I love the way the diamond necklace around your neck sparkles in the moonlight."
"Oh, yes, the diamond necklace."
"Well, anyway, Would you care to go for a drink?
Beg pardon, Charles?
Would you like a drink?
Oh, yes, I'd like a drink, Charles. Thank you. Oh, dear.
I think I found the problem, darling.
What's that, Charles?
I found something I think belongs to you.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you, Charles.
Let me fix it. You dropped the transistor on the floor out of your hearing aid. Let me...
Trans what?
I say you've dropped the transistor.
You're coming in stereo, Charles.
You mean you hear me now?
Don't talk so loud. Everybody will be looking at you. I hear you good enough. What did you say?
Oh, what a date. Let's go home. Here, the sign over the door that says Betty Crockett, so we just got to put a little shoulder behind.
I'll help you here.
Thanks. There we go.
And we bid you welcome to the experimental kitchen. This time, WRC presents their home economist, Miss Betty Crockett. Here she is now from her experimental kitchen. Betty Crockett.
Willard Scott, how are you?
No, I'm Ed Walker. That's Willard over there.
Don't try to fool an old lady.
No, Betty, I'm
don't touch me if you don't love me.
No, I'm Ed Walker. Say hello, Willard.
I wouldn't blab it all around, Willard.
What? No, I'm Ed.
No, Betty, I'm Willard, and he's Ed.
That's
I'm
right.
Betty, and you're Willard.
Hi, Betty, can I have one of those soft fresh...
Get your cotton picking hands off my donut.
Oh,
good
heavens. Well, you're really awfully hard.
Told you not to touch me if you don't love me, now.
Well, Betty, how about our recipe for the folks this afternoon?
Sure.
Okay.
What's that, Ed?
No, the recipe.
Yes, I think so.
All right, let's have it.
Sure enough. Ready?
Yeah, I've been waiting.
You didn't have that look in your eye.
Oh, I've got it now. I got it in both eyes now. Go ahead.
All right, girls. Today's recipe is very exciting. It's something for warm weather and for guests that might be dropping by.
Uh-huh.
It's called fricasseed frog fritters.
Fricasseed frog fritters.
Fricasseed frog fritters are really in season this year, Eddie.
I thought fritters were fried.
Well, you can fry them, but you got to fricassee them first before you fry them.
Corn fritters or apple fritters? Or,
maybe, I guess.
Tech
so.
Fritter, he was a big Western.
Yes, he was bigger. Yes.
Frog fritter. Now, how do you prepare them?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
I said, how do you prepare these frogs?
Sure, Eddie. You prepare them by fricasseeing the frog fritter, and then you fry it.
Do you have any of these made?
Got a whole mess of frog fritters fricasseed over there on the trim frame.
Let me see one of them.
Help yourself.
Oh, they look like they're... Betty, one of them just jumped off the plate there.
That's not too abnormal for a frog to jump around, do you think not?
You mean the frog is still alive in the
fritter? Of course he's still alive, Eddie. You don't kill the frog to fricassee his fritter.
Oh, gosh, that would be a little...
No, that's cool. You see, when you fricassee his fritter, it just makes it crispy.
Betty, can I have one of them?
Fricasseeing hands off my frog fritter.
I'm sorry, Betty, but...
You're sorry. Look at
that just doesn't
fritter.
Appeal to me. I think we better get out of here.
Thank you, old frog fritter.
We'll be back next Tuesday with another recipe from Betty
Crocker. Get your hands off my donut.
Experimental kitchen. So join us, won't you, then, for another taste-tempting recipe. Ooh, get me out of here.
King Kong Birdseed, the greatest name in birdseed, the only birdseed that makes your parakeet look like an ape, sound like a lion, and gentle as a bear, brings you the heartwarming story, Spur Happiness, starring the gifted stage and screen star, Mark Byrne Rosberg, kindly old lady. As our story opens, we find Mama Bear, young 38-year-old wealthy playboy son Herbert Bear, and Papa Bear in the living room where apparently Herbert is dying out some of his Boy Scout knots that he learned last week in Boy Scout meeting. So we got to
the Herbert. Sure is fun. One of these days I'm going to be a tenderfoot. Yes, sirree, boy.
Herbert.
They don't have no classification for them, you know.
Well, you're the one, the original and the only Groucho.
Herbert, I wish you'd do this work somewhere else. I'm trying to read my evening paper.
Well, I got to try out these knots on some. Buddy, Ma, you're going to be a good
fool. I've got to get in the kitchen and get the laundry.
Oh, now, come on. Only take just a minute here.
All right.
I just got to do it.
Okay, one quick knot, and that's all.
Okay, now, let me just take this nice piece of rope here. Now, Ma, I'll just tie one end around your arm here.
All right.
Now, let me know if I pull it too tight.
That's all right.
Okay, Paul.
Okay, let's see what you... take it easy.
Don't tie our arms together.
No, we sure we do. That's the idea.
Okay.
This is the double slip knot T-shirt. Here now. Okay.
Arm,
tight. Nice and tight.
Yeah, but
There you go.
Well, don't worry about it, because I can untie it. That's part of the game, you see. You got to be able to tie it.
All right, now untie it. Forget the foolishness. I've got to go watch
it. Okay. Let me just untie it. Broke my fingernail. Let me just try to...
Herbert, hurry up, will
you? Broke another fingernail.
Goodness gracious. Hurry up, Herbert. I've got to get...
Well, I broke off all my fingernails. I don't have nothing to get the knot out with.
You only broke three fingernails.
I've only got three fingers.
Herbert,
you're going to have to stay here because I've got a date tonight. I'll come and untie it later on.
No, folks. Papa Bear, don't breathe on me.
Well, I guess somebody really tied the knot this time, Ma.
Yeah, I'm afraid this is worse than the original one. Better play the theme and get us out of this mess.
My goodness, Beth. King Kong Bertie has brought you another exciting episode of Just Plain Stella Bear. Starring Margaret Hotbird in the top role of kindly old lady Mama Bear. Based on the book Not Enough Suited Up by Claudia Clyde. And at the radio by Geraldine Fitzgerald. Kentucky tied their hands up, picked up. Little finger tied my shoelaces together.
I don't like your tone of voice.
Nikita, if you want all the press coverage, don't do it on our station.
I want CNN and FM Washington, boys, please. 5 o'clock, time for the news.
Radio Free Europe, here we go.
Times Square, broadcasting from downtown Georgetown, where this afternoon we are in the famous non-existent donut shop, owned and operated by Nick Beat. Very famous beatnik in the area. We've interviewed Nick a couple of times. Last time we talked to him, he opened up a library, and today he's branched out even more, and he has a new gift shop. Nick, would you tell us a little bit about the gift shop, and what do you feature?
Hi, Sway and Daddy. Would you like a chocolate-covered grasshopper?
No, thanks. I'm on a diet. Thank you very much.
Now, don't say no too loud, because the grasshoppers are very, very sensitive about not being accepted in society.
I see. Well, you've got a very nice-looking gift shop here.
We do, yes.
How is business?
Fine, and I would say it's ooh bop a dow, man. It swings.
That means good, I take it.
You take it, yeah. You take it.
I notice on this shelf over here, Nick, you have some very interesting-looking wooden boxes. What are those?
That is correct, Swingin' Daddy. You see, these are music boxes for beatniks. It's the latest in the line of things that I'm selling.
Music boxes for beatniks?
Yes, that is right, Daddy-O.
I assume that they play progressive music? Is that
like the old-fashioned Daddy-O music boxes that play the Swiss bells. We play progressive sound.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to hear one?
Yes. Are they in stereo?
You buy two at the dollar of a half. Here you go. You just bought them. Where's your money?
Thank you. Now, would you wind this up? I don't want to have anything happen.
These are very delicate instruments made by pygmies in Eastern Africa. Here we go.
Now, I just open the lid and it'll play.
That's right. Watch. This is modern progressive.
Very interesting. It sounds like a well-known TV theme.
That is correct, Swingin' Daddy. This is the music from Peter Gaughan.
Very interesting.
What is it for Peter Gaughan, yeah?
It sounds like a full orchestra.
Cut it off, I'll show you more.
That's very good. How do you get that sound out of a little music box?
They're all midget musicians packed in that box. We sent them a 30-day lunch and care package, and they're digging at the music.
Do they work the scale? Is that
the idea? They're paid union scale all the time.
Here's an interesting-looking thing here. It looks like a cigar humidor. Is this musical, too?
That is absolutely correct. You smoke your Havana Picassos in here. That's an artistic cigar.
I see. Now, do I just wind this one up a little bit here?
Certainly, man. Hold on a minute. Here we go. Okay.
Right, I just open the...
Yeah. We had a little tough time getting that piano stuff in that little box like
that. I like that.
That's very good.
Now,
we have a third variety over here that just came in this morning. I have not even listened to this one myself. It is so swinging, it is gone all the way, Daddy.
It has a very interesting looking, like modern art shape to it, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
Uh-huh. And this should be the most progressive of all.
It sure does.
All right, now let's just wind it up there a little bit. Then I'll just open the lid here.
Yeah. Wait a minute, Daddy. I think somebody from New York is trying to bug us here. This is Lawrence Welk, and if there's anything we can't stand in a non-existent donut shop... That Lou Crosby don't get on my program no time.
Must be a Madison Avenue trick.
Me a little
little advice?
Certainly, old lady.
I'm trying to find the cocktail lounge at the Sheraton Park. Can I walk it from here?
Sure, it's just a short one from here.
Short one? Don't mind if I do. I'm
please,
the rock.
Get her out of here, will you? Get her out of the studio.